not often that we have somebody from Oregon. Now, you can always tell if you've lived in Oregon because you say it right, but you can always tell when somebody refers to it, and they've probably never been there. They call it Oregon. There's a state out there called Oregon, and, you know, and it's kind of like Illinois. You know, you can always tell somebody that's lived in Chicago, it's Illinois, honey child. It's Illinois. It's not Illinois. It's not Oregon. It's Oregon. Don't make it so hard. Great to have our friends from Oregon, and then some that live out here, I think. Praise the Lord, and good to have you guys. It's an honor to have you, our guests and visitors. We have a lot of fun here. Do we have a lot of fun? Okay, this isn't, if there is such a thing as an ordinary Sunday, we have extraordinary worship, and didn't the praise team just do absolutely magnificent? Hallelujah. This is Family Sunday. And now, you got to remember that God's people are not giraffes, they're sheep. So put your cookies on a low shelf. That's part of my philosophy. God's people are called sheep in Scripture, not giraffes. And by the way, I've been around some fascinating giraffes. Down there in that Cincinnati Zoo, the way that's set up, how you can get so close to them and be right there by their head while they're feeding, because that little box that's way up there by where the tourists stand. But we're called sheep, not tourists. So put your cookies on a low shelf, and I'm going to try to do that in the next few minutes. I love our young people. I love our children. And this altar is, you know what, let's just say that it's open right now. It's open. And no matter who, I'm going to preach to the kids, and if I do that, I know I'll get you adults too, all right? But I love our kids. I love our kids. I love our young people. And we try to, I don't know, we just try to bless them and help them grow and develop their lives. Here we go. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, if you would like to stand in honor to the word of the Lord. 2 Chronicles 34, we're only going to read three verses. Now, do I have, Seth, are you really good at math? Are you pretty good at math? Are you? How old are you now, Seth? 14. Okay, Seth, come right now. I want a couple guys to help me with math. And usually guys are good at math. Girls are good at English. Guys are good at math. And that's why for many years the guys walk around and they go, they're not good at English. The girls are good. We'll just sit right here by Brother Nevin. You're going to help me with some math. Let me see. Jason, are you good at math? This is real simple math, though. Come and help me, Jason. It's real simple math. Sit right here by Seth. And I'm going to, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to help me do a little, just a little arithmetic, a little math. Okay. So God is good. He's so good. And I'm so glad he had mercy on me. He loves to throw his mercy around and bless people. He really does. And he did that for me. And that's why I'm here. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1, Josiah, this is an amazing statement, okay? Josiah was 8 years old. Somebody say 8 years old. When he began to reign. That blows my mind. Are you kidding me? How did this happen? Well, watch this. And he reigned in Jerusalem 1 and 30 years. 1 and 30 years. Okay, so that's 31 years, right? So he was 8 when he started reigning, right? Which is like kids. He was a kid. Oh, that's interesting. Did you know you can reign as a kid? Did you know there's a king and a kid inside of you? And whichever one that you feed the most is the one that's reigning, the king or the kid? Okay, K-I-D, K-I-N-K-G. King or kid. Okay, so he reigned 31 years, but he started at 8. So what's 8 and 31? 39. He's short. Awesome. What's 8 and 31?
39.
Okay, so he reigned 31 years. So he stopped reigning when he was 39. Now, that's pretty young to stop reigning, if you read about the kings of Judah and Israel. That's very young. Do you suppose that my daughter Amber, who was killed a year ago, do you suppose that she kind of sensed that she wouldn't live a long time? She compressed so much of her life into every day, every week, every year. And I want to say this about Josiah. Do you suppose, I got to doing a little math. These guys are going to help me. That if you knew that you were going to stop reigning at the age of 39, that's quite young to stop reigning, very young. That somehow he sensed he had to make every day count. Every year count. Because he would not live, Brother Nevin, to be an old king. He wouldn't reign that long. So he understood, and it's what you and I need to understand. And here's my subject today. You have an assignment. We have an assignment. And the faster that it dawns upon us that we must be up and at the business of the Father, that we must be after it, because who knows, every day is a gift. Chapter 34, verse 2. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Not just a kid, just a young person. And walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. He was consistent. Even as a kid. Oh, can I preach to the young people? He was stable and consistent even as a kid. Now watch this. Verse 3. For in the eighth year of his reign. Well, he started reigning at 8, right? So the eighth year, what's 8 plus 8? 16. So, watch this now. Watch this. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was yet young, he was only 16, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Some people think that prayer is just for old folks. This guy had an assignment from God to be a king. And at the ripe old age of 16, after 8 years of reigning as a king, he began to get serious about his prayer life. Now, I find that absolutely amazing. He started seeking God, praying seriously when he was only 16, just 2 years shy of you, Seth. Watch this. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, okay, Jason and Seth, 12th year, what would that make him if he started reigning at 8? The 12th year would make him, what, 20? So he was just barely out of his teens, right? Just barely. Anybody here that's 20? Excluding all the liars. I'd like to claim it, but no. Watch this. So he's just barely out of his teens. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. He knew he had an assignment. And the Lord let us have just a little peek at a few of those early years to show that he didn't wait till he was 30 or 40 or 50. He began to build an impression. He began to build a leadership. He began to build excellence. If you read about Josiah, though he began when he was only 8, he was one of the greatest kings in Judah's history. I'm going to ask my wife to pray for us. Would you lift your hearts and hands and ask the Lord to speak to us?
Lord, we just want our hearts to receive your word today. Anoint our pastor. Quicken your thoughts to his mind and mouth, Lord. Let him speak the word of the Lord with boldness and help us to be ready to hear and quickened in our heart to understand and obey your word in Jesus' name.
Would you clap your hands to the Lord, to the great God of heaven who loves us? Hallelujah, and died for us. You may be seated. I want to ask you something. Okay, here's a question for our young people. All right, here it is. Do we have any 8-year-olds here? Are you 8? Okay, we have just 1? 2? Oh, Jay. Are you? That's right, you're 8 now. MJ, I got it. We've got, what, 3? At least 3 8-year-olds. Now, would you all stand? Just be beautiful, kids. Oh, my lands. Every one of them is a knockout. But could you envision saying, okay, here's the scepter, MJ, may God be with you. And you're going, don't do that. You know, as a mom or a dad, you know, I love them, but don't give the kingdom to them right now. It's a little bit, you know. You know what I mean. I mean, they're sweet and they're cute, but I don't think they're ready to run a kingdom. Thank you. You may be seated. Awesome. At least 3 8-year-olds. So can you picture this? When I read this, it blows my mind that a kid named Josiah. Brother Aaron, do you really think that a kid, hey, Jasmine, give me 5. Oh, I'm sorry. I love to tease these guys. It's so much fun. Jasmine, how old is Justice? He's 5. So close to this. But can you envision? Can you even imagine 8 years old? Here's the scepter. Oh, no, look at the baby. I don't think you want to give them the scepter. I mean, that rock, that golden diamond-covered, you know, rod that they would hold. And when they did, everybody came to attention and nobody fooled around because it meant their heads would roll. All right? So how? So here's my bigger question over here. How did an 8-year-old, Michelle, how did an 8-year-old run a kingdom? See, some of us think, oh, I'm young. I'm just a kid. I can't do much until I'm really, really old, you know, kind of like Pastor. when I get his age, I might do something really important. And here's a kid that's reigning when he's 8, and I'm going to tell you how he did it. He had counselors. He had teachers. He had mentors. He had instructors. He had tutors, people that would literally come to the palace and teach him language and customs and understandings of how to lead and rule and reign over a people that were older and much smarter than he was. But you see, there was a teacher in his house. There was a tutor that probably lived at the palace. What are you saying? I'm saying you're here right now and you have an assignment from God. And the reason why these teachers are here, Sister Joy, is because they are the tutors of young people who have a royal calling, regal calling on their life. And it's your job and my job and parents, anointed tutors, anointed trainers, anointed preachers. What are we doing? We're trying to raise up a youngster or a bunch of young people who have a call on their life to rule and reign in the Holy Ghost. Your mentors, young people, are in the house. God has designs on you. You say, Brother Meadows, Pastor Meadows, you don't know what I've been through. I probably don't, and maybe I do, but it doesn't make any difference. God has designs, purposes for you. And you, and you, and you, and you. And one of the reasons why an 8-year-old could take a throne, and listen to this, look what he did. At the ripe old age of 16, he begins to pray and seek God so seriously that it's recorded in the Bible, because his tutors, his instructors, his trainers, his teachers had taught him, you need to seek the Lord. You need to pray and ask for God's wisdom and God's help. And when he began to do that, it's only a few years later, Sister Christy, that he's absolutely tearing down all the idols of his nation at the ripe old age. 20. Does he use young people? Yep. He sure does. And we have in this house possible evangelists. Hello. Somebody give me an amen. We have in this house possible evangelists. We have 8-year-olds that could reign if we could bring them up and love them and bless them and teach them and train them and example it for them, that you can live for God no matter how young you are. You can live for God no matter how young you think you are. You can have a walk with God no matter how small and insignificant you think you are. God, the great God who controls the universe and spins the earth on its axis, has an assignment for you, for them, for me, for us. Let's love him for that. Isn't that awesome? Woo! Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He had an assignment from God, and he got after it when he was young. Now, here's another question. I want your kids, you young people, to help me with this one. Have you ever been given an assignment at school? Okay, raise your hands if you. Okay. What? Boy, that was good. Let's do that again. If you've ever been given an assignment at school, homeschool, public school, whatever school it is, raise your hand away from so. Okay. You know what an assignment is, right? Okay, here's another question. What happens to you when you ignore the assignment and go back to school and think it doesn't make any difference? How are you treated by your instructors? Silent night, holy night. We get to sing Silent Night all year long here. We only sing it when we get quiet. So, I learned this the hard way. Assignments, Sister Gina, are serious. I have people who are trying to speak into my life in high school. I worked, especially after I got baptized and got the Holy Ghost. I really, really went after my studies. In a class of 200 and, I don't know, 30 to 50 people, I was number 8. I was in the top 10. I could have done better, but I was so busy being the youth leader of the church and being a Bible quizzer and a Sunday school teacher at the ripe old age of 17, 16, 15, 14. My first ministry in the church was, oh, this is so deep, and I wish we could help our kids. It was simply praying in the altars. Just loving people and praying in the altars. We never get too good to pray in the altars. I prayed for myself and then I prayed for others. Actually, that was my first ministry that they trusted me with. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've had the privilege to preach conferences, camp meetings, all kinds of things, honored to do so. But it didn't start there. In my youth, I took altar calls seriously. I began to pray for others, and God began to touch and bless them when I prayed for them. And these kids, I dare you, teachers, to instill in them a love for the altar. I challenge you to make them feel, and you're working hard. We have some amazing teachers, some beautiful, wonderful teachers, but I'm here to aid and abet what you're doing. I'm here to tell them there's a Josiah sitting here. Some of them have been through the mill and then back again through the mill. But let me tell you this, everything that you've been through, God will use it as part of your testimony. He's going to raise you up and put a rhema word in your mouth, and you're going to testify about the grace of God and the mercies of God, and you're going to pour your heart out to people through the years that have been wounded, and you're going to bring healing because you're a Josiah in the Spirit of God. You're young, but there's a touch of God on your life, and He wants to use you right now. Why don't we love Him right now? Would you do it with me? Woo! There's 5,000 plus, probably, maybe, if you counted the women and the kids, probably close to 15,000. And they've been having church. And I mean, you know, when you get an extended church where, I mean, they're singing and there's teaching and there's worship and there's, and they started getting really, really hungry. I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I'm ready to chew on my kneecaps. I'm ready to just take something and make it food, you know, just wish it food. I carry snacks in my car. Amber used to know where my candy bars were in my office, and she used to raid. I found this out years later. Oh, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Oh, my. Anyway, close to 15,000 people. They're starving, and they start asking, where are we going to send these people away? Where can they go? They're hungry. And then the scripture says, there is a lad here. If you look at that Greek word for lad, it means little boy. There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And so he offers up unselfishly in his youth, thinking probably that, you know, who is he and what could he ever do? But he offers up his lunch. And Jesus blesses it, and the disciples begin to break it and give it to everybody, and everybody was fed somewhere between, we say 5,000, but that was counting the men, you see. So if you count the women who, you know, if there's a bunch of guys, there's probably some women not far. Hallelujah, praise God. And there's probably some kids not far. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's called families. So thank you, Jesus, for families, beautiful families, godly families. And so they kept breaking it, passing out bread and fish. And all of a sudden, they were all fed. And then Jesus, who doesn't waste anything, would you say that with me? Jesus doesn't waste anything. He doesn't even waste you. Says, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And when they gathered up the fragments, it was 12 baskets full. All because one of the most amazing miracles of multiplication, and we've been involved in a little of this at times, where we went to a bread shop God was moving in the bread shop, and the owner was a spirit-filled person who was praying and asking God to bless his business. And they were making so many loaves, but when they gave them all away, there was more that they gave away, way more than what they actually made. And you figure that out. Okay, if you make 200 loaves, but you hand out 400. Or if you make 150 loaves and you hand out 275, figured up to the math. See, we're into math today. We're into arithmetic today. Josiah was 8, but at 80, he takes over a kingdom. At 16, he starts getting consecrated and praying. And at 20, he begins to purge the land. It means he brought the nation into, Sister Linda, an awesome consecration. They started to clear out the debris, the spiritual debris, the darkness, all the junk that shouldn't be there. They were cleaning. They were hosing the place down. They were going to make it clean. And it was led by a boy who was barely out of his teens. Explain that to me, because we, in this culture, we talk like, well, they're not going to really do anything meaningful until they're 25 or 35 or 42 or something like that. And that's not biblical. Is it okay to preach like this? I worked as in the altar praying for people. I was used to sing specials when I was a teenager. I was a Bible quizzer when I was in my teen years. I was involved in outreach. We were out knocking on doors, going door to door, by ourselves, me and my brothers, since we didn't have an outreach program in the church. My brothers and I, we were taking on Jehovah's Witnesses and others. We loved them. We tried to help them. We opened the scriptures up to them. We weren't afraid of them. I think they were afraid of us. But you're not supposed to do that to just an old guy. I was in my teens. How to call. They tell me that when I was 2 years old, I told people I would be a preacher. Ladies and gentlemen, how did I know at the ripe old age of two what a preacher even was? I'm going to tell you why. Because I have an assignment. Josiah had an assignment. You and we have an assignment. And one of the smartest things that we can do is find out what that assignment is and get after it. Because you don't know how long you will live. I think I'm qualified to preach that. You don't know that you might bury your little baby girl next year or somebody else that you love and you thought they'd be around the rest of your life. And so I'm thankful now as I look back that every year we took a 2-week vacation. We didn't have a lot of money to spend, you know, but I took Ember and Cindy to Gettysburg and Niagara Falls. I took him to where those kids' tapes were made in Colorado Springs. Focus on the family, stood there and looked through the glass cage where they make those programs. I said, in my heart, I said, it may be that she, in her later years, has several kids and can't even get away. And I wanted her to taste Americana and love her country and know it well. And now I look back and realize that all of those vacations, and when I shared that with Brother Cunningham, his heart was touched. And he began to tell me that it really spoke to him because he feels like now as he looks back, he wishes that he would have done some of the same things in the earlier years of his child's life. Isn't God good? I'm almost done. I was a Sunday school teacher as a youth. I was youth leader at the ripe old age of 16. I started preaching at the same age. I've been involved as a kid, as a young person. I'm telling you, I'm walking in my assignment. Not perfectly. I'm not walking in it perfectly because he's wanted me to do a lot more writing than I've done. And for that, Lord, I apologize. Help me, Jesus, to get to that, please. But anyhow, I'm trying to walk in my assignment. Now, let me tell you, something happened to me. And today I was out praying. And I had my jeans on, the ones that she hates. They got pockets, you know, very masculine jeans. And so I was walking back, and I was finding some really neat places to pray. And I thought, I'm going to cinch up my belt just a little bit. They fit tight already. I mean, them jeans fit tight already. But so I pulled on my belt. I pulled on it. I will sorely miss it. And so, I did something that you wouldn't normally do. I just kept wearing it. and I had this long, my old raggedy shirt, you know, my paint shirt. I got paint on it from painting here at the church. And so I had my belt on. It was still there, even though I lost the last, 8, 9, 10 inches of the belt. Brother Bob, I wore it around praying, and the old buckle was, you know, Now, here's the deal. This belt has a busted assignment. See? Didn't have a complicated one. Had a very simple one. It knew what its job was. And I used it, and I used it, and I used it until it wore out, and it fell apart. This is a busted belt with a busted assignment. You see, and I can lay this to rest, but I want to ask you, are you living with a busted assignment? You see, he has an assignment for you. I don't care what your age. I don't care how young you are. If he could make Josiah at 8 years old a king, if he could use him at 16 to deepen his prayer life and call his nation to prayer, and then at 20 he could use this young man to purge and clean up his nation, what could he do with you if you could understand and discern what assignment that you have? You are valuable to him. He loves you on your worst day. Can I tell you that again? He loves you on your worst day. When you're disgusted with yourself, young person, you are just about ready to be determined as fully human, all right? There are days when we're all disgusted with ourselves, but his love never wavers. His mercy doesn't fade away and disappear. He's with you right now. His hand is on you right now. Oh, praise God. And no matter what you've been through or what mistakes you have made, you have an assignment from the eternal God. And he's calling you as our musicians come. He's calling you today. He's calling you. He's got purposes in store in mind with you in the middle of them. You're not just an accident. You're not just some kind of a happenstance in clothes. You have an assignment, young or old. And if he could give a kingdom, Brother Nevin, to an 8 year old, if he could give a kingdom. But you see, he knew. Josiah knew. Did you know that when you read about the kings of Judah, Megan, they call him the foremost king. You know why? They said he was loyal. He was loyal to David, King David. He was loyal to his God. And this one who started out so young became an amazing king, but he wouldn't rule for very long. And that's what I want to tell you right now. I don't know times and seasons. Sometimes I sense things. Sometimes I refuse to say what I pick up and what I sense because it's more than I want to describe. But I'm going to tell you this. This is the day that your life could start anew. This is the day that you could push the reset button and start all over because God alters us at an altar. And I don't care what you've done. It doesn't make any difference. The blood is efficacious. The blood is efficient. The blood still works. The mercies of God are here. You can walk to this altar and discover why he apprehended you. You can walk to this altar and discover what his purposes are for you. He loves you with an unending love. He loves us with an eternal love. And he has work. He has work for us to do. Woo. So my question as I close is, what does God want you to be? What does God, young person, want you to be? If he could make an 8 year old a king, what does he want you to be? He has a job for you. He has work for you. He has purposes laying invisibly, softly, gently on your life. And he wants you to discover them. Listen to this. Jesus didn't wait till he was an old man before he got serious about purposes as in the days of his flesh. And it came to pass, Luke 2:46, that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Remember, he's only 12. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Teachers, there's hope. There's hope. Praise God. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Listen to what he says. And from what I understand, these are the first recorded words that we have that he spoke, that we have record of. Watch this. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In other words, I have an assignment. And I know I'm the eternal God because that's what he was in a body, God in flesh. But according to the days of his flesh, he could have said, I'm not waiting until this body is old before I do something about my assignment. Don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? I have homework. I have an assignment. And if I don't get it done, I'm going to be in hot water. Hallelujah. Understand what I'm saying? As in according to the days, speaking from the man's side. Hallelujah. There's some homework that he's given you. It might be a call to prayer. It might be a Bible study. It might be just studying the scriptures or loving your neighbors. It could be a lot of things. Listen to this beautiful word from Isaiah 11 verse 6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion, and the fatling together. But here's the part that I really love. And a little child shall lead them. Who said you have to be old? Who said that you have to be on retirement pension? And God bless any and all that are, because you are special and blessed and precious to God. If he could make an 8-year-old a king, and he could use that 8-year-old when he became 16, life that had far-reaching consequences, and he could use Brother Cody, that same young man at the ripe old age of 20, to begin a revival of holiness in his country and pulling down idols and all kinds of strange stuff that grieved the heart of God. Do that at the ripe old age of 20. Where are we in this? I'm going to tell you where we are. Challenge you in about 2 minutes to walk to this altar and say, okay, God, talk to me about my assignment. I'm down here at the request and invitation of the preacher. Would you please talk to me about my assignment? I'm going to tell you one last little story, true story. When I was in Bible school many years ago, some of the best years of my life, we had a lady there at CBC Conquerors Bible College in Portland. We had a lady there named Sister Pearl Smith, and she kind of looked like a pearl because her hair was totally white. I know mine's deep, deep gray, but hers was white. I'm afraid mine's getting to the same color that hers was. She was feisty. She had a lot of personality. Sister Pearl Smith was a hoot. She put some stuff in our cookies on one of our evangelistic trips. She put some Ex-Lax in her cookies. We had an amazing move. What can I say? That tells you how funny she was. She was a hoot. You know, I mean, just lovable, fun-loving. I never forgave her. No, Lord, I have. I can't say that, Lord. I don't want you to agree with me. I did forgive her. Okay. Took me a while. To get away from the restroom. Okay. Somewhere, I think it was in the cafeteria. I don't know how this even happened, but she began to tell me about her little sister who had died young. And her little sister's name was Tiny. And Tiny went to an altar at the ripe old age of 5. Brother Nevin, 5. Received the Holy Ghost Amber at 5. I mean, genuinely, the baptism, the filling of the Spirit. She became the evangelist in her neighborhood. She won, little 5-year-old Tiny, won people to God because there was no defense against her. She was totally disarming. If I remember the details, I believe she told me there was a Catholic man who had been so charmed by this toddler that he said, he knew she loved chocolate milkshakes. And he said, I will get up in the middle of the night and make her a milkshake if that's what she ever wants. She would walk up to people. Do you know Jesus? She'd look up at him, you know. She was, do you know Jesus? something about her just sincerity and lack of hypocrisy, and she would win people. She began to win her family at 8 years old. Josiah was made king. I'm telling you, you're old enough to be used by God, young person. Trust and believe God, and yet Tiny grew worse. So at the age of 7, 2 years of soul winning and testimony and witness, and she walked in her little assignment on her level. And Pearl is holding her in her arms, and she has been wasting away, little Tiny. And as she's holding her there, I think she was sitting in one of the corners of the house there, Tiny started saying some things like, "Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming here today." Oh, man, that scared Sister Pearl. Jesus is coming here today. Even though she could barely talk and she didn't have much strength, Jesus is coming here today. And then after a while, some time, several minutes, went by, and all of a sudden she blurted out something like this: "Jesus is here." And about that time, Sister Pearl said, "A light she did. She said, "I saw two hands with nail prints in them reach under her little body." And there was this lifting sensation, and boom, Tiny was dead, the light was gone. And I'll let you guess where she went. She looked down into nailed, scarred hands reaching under that little body. Tiny walked in her assignment. It wasn't a long walk for Josiah, and it wasn't a long walk for Tiny, but I'm opening this altar, and I'm telling you that somebody needs to have the courage to get up and walk to this altar and say to God, I want to know your assignment for me. I want to know. I give myself to you. I would that somebody could get up right now as Brother Thad begins to sing. Just get up.
Are you hurting and broken?
And walk
within?
To this altar and say,
overwhelmed
be
by the weight of
you.
Your sin. Jesus is calling.
Hallelujah. Bring a youngster with you. Bring a young
man. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling.
You have purpose.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Oh, dear Jesus, we pray together.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling.
Let this day be the beginning of somebody.
Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling.
What he's called you to do.
Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Nobody's a train wreck, not in the mercy of God. Nobody is useless.
What a Savior.
All of us carry huge value. Oh,
isn't he wonderful?
Huge value.
Sing hallelujah.
I'm walking.
Christ is risen.
Jesus' name, I'm walking.
Bow down before him.
I'm walking.
For he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen.
What you do is
oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Witness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to.